You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To Black Hair in the Big Leagues presents The Salisha Show. Y'all, last night I had the privilege of getting to see 1776 on Broadway, and it is great. I remember, here's what it is about in my own words. This is my own words, so forgive me if I'm like muddy about it. It is the birthing, it's about the birthing of the Declaration of Independence. The original production of 1776, the cast was mostly made up of white men, older white men. There was a couple women in it. And this revival version, not a man in sight, okay? We've got all female, trans, non-binary members of the cast. And it is extremely diverse. And let me tell you, saying some of those things that are from the original script hits different with a woman, with a trans, with a non-binary, with a person of color in the role. So today I get to talk to two of the cast members from the show. And so just a brief background of each of them. We'll start off with this beauty queen right in front of me. She was in Fela, SpongeBob musical, Violet, Amazing Grace, Black No More, 50th anniversary tour of West Side Story, and the first Grenadian woman on Broadway?
It's me.
Let's freaking go. And she didn't get to show off these skills, but I have a feeling she's a dancer extraordinaire. Please help me welcome playing North Carolina Joseph Hughes, Onika Phipps.
Hey, Salisha. Hey, good people out there. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for that incredible introduction. Sometimes you need to hear it from the outside. You know, the things that you've done just to be reminded, you know, because it gets so exhausting and so tiresome, but you want to stay in a place of gratitude. So thank you for that.
I'm so happy to see you today. And I cannot wait to dive in and ask you some things. Next up, we've got an international actress on television, film, and Broadway. She did Liz Estrada Jones on Broadway, some TV film, Friday Night Lights. Have you heard of that? Get on up, Miss Juneteenth. And come on, welcome home, Roscoe Jenkins. And oh my goodness, last night, I got to witness her playing in earth-shaking and powerful John Hancock in 1776. Please help me welcome Liz Michael.
Hello. Thank you for having us this morning.
Snaps to both of you guys. It's a great show.
Thank you.
And both of you guys have quite a presence.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. I think, Liz, do you remember Mia's last name, the hair designer?
I want to say Eccles, but that doesn't sound right.
Well, our hair designer, Mia, she, during rehearsals before we left for Cambridge for the Boston Out of Town, you know, she came to in the room, sort of observed people in the room, and came up with these styles that she figured would work for us. That was an expression of who we are now, instead of trying to become men that we are not. And I think especially as a Black woman, I specifically appreciated that. I think it would have been very false and pretentious and pulled people out of things if, for example, we were attempted to do the powdered wigs or something to that effect. But to be able to stay in yourself, but an elevated, dressed up aspect of yourself through the coats and through the hair, then for me personally, helped me to connect to the essence of the person that I'm playing, which might seem very ironical, if not impossible, but it really did. In order, keeping myself grounded to me, helped me connect more to the character.
Okay, so you kind of just answered my question from what I'm gonna guess of what you're gonna say. Was your hair already shaved on the sides before you started?
Ding, ding, ding. Yep. Yeah, it was actually after Fela that I decided to go natural. So that was in 2011. Prior to that, I was texturizing. And the natural hair movement hadn't really started yet. Even though I came up in the Caribbean, it's sort of like that across the board story of Black girls, particularly in a certain period where for ease and convenience, our hair was chemically straightened. Mm-hmm. Right? And I had not... my mother had, but I had not taken care of my natural hair at all. So to take it on, you would have to do a separate interview about my relationship with my hair. I've been a tomboy since I came out of my mother's womb. So hair itself is like such a complicated conversation with me. But in 2011, and also inspired by the show itself and connectivity to Blackness, I decided to go natural. And one of the things I'd wanted to do for a long time in my life was to rock like a bald head or shaved sides. And so I went for it. I went for the big chop.
You, and yes.
It was cool because the person working on my hair actually said to me, you don't need to texturize. You actually have the curl texture that you're going for. You just don't know how to take care of your hair. And I think that's such an incredible connective story that many of us have. This thing that we're striving for, we actually have it. We just were never given the tools to take care of it.
Wow. You know, you definitely have statement hair on stage. And not once were you ever on stage when I didn't notice that you were on stage.
Thank you.
Not once. And it is such a great look. It's really pretty fantastic.
Thank you so much. I have this thing where I say, like, North Carolina, like, Joseph Hughes loves his horses so much so that he designs his hair after they're made, you know? Like, he's got that long mane.
Yes, it cannot be mistaken.
Joseph Hughes' mane, you know?
You're like, he loves his horses. It's a thing, and it really does look great. And I love that Mia got to pull exactly from you, and how interesting the way you were trying to get your hair to look all those years. That person was finally like, your hair does this.
It does it, right. Exactly, yeah.
Liz, how about you? I saw you rocking those braids last night, and I know that my mama used to rock that same style. I'm like, it looks great.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have braids earlier on this year?
I did. In fact, it was something in 2020 when we were supposed to start the tour, and the bottom dropped out of everything with COVID. I was performing at the Old Globe doing Little Women. And, you know, I had to fly home to Dallas, and I was going to leave that show and come into 1776. But I ended up at home in Dallas. And the moment I got off the plane, I was like, I want braids. And I went to the store and bought all of the stuff to get my hair braided. And of course, you didn't want to sit in a room with someone for 8 hours with this pandemic looming about. So I just kind of put it off. But I am a curly girl. And so I've had curly hair for years.
Yeah, and I saw that on your website. Yes, I can picture it. Yes.
Yeah, it's been, and even in wigs, I prefer the curlier look. Yeah. If you know, just for convenience, and you know, in TV and film, so you always look the same. You have to have something that always looks like your headshot or close to it. But yeah. I wear my hair naturally. And have done that for years. And but the braids were something that I really wanted. And for Mother's Day 2021, my middle daughter said, Mama, you've been wanting these braids. That's my Mother's Day gift to you. You're going to get these braids. And I got braided up, and I'm a company member in Dallas at the Dallas Theater Center. And we started working. And I kept those braids in for working. Of course, you know, I would get my braids tightened up and changed out. But I kept braids for working. Every show that I ended up doing at DTC, I had braids. I would just switch out, you know, colors, the cornrows in the front, or just box braids all over. And I ended up, right before we started 1776, I played the stage manager in Our Town, and I had these braids. And they were like, well, how are we going to do this? And I styled my braids. They were like, that's perfect.
Great.
And so that's how I arrived to 1776. And Mia's last name is Neil. And so when I got to rehearsal, I was like, well, either they'll tell me to take the braids out, they're going to wig me, or I'll just cross that bridge when I get to it. And the ingenious part of Mia Neal is that she wanted us to all resemble ourselves. Mm. So when she saw me with those braids, she was like, oh, we need an updo. We need I like the height. Let's get them up, and we're going to keep the braids.
I love
and that's how they were adapted into the show.
Yeah, like I feel like sometimes it can be nerve-wracking, like as an actress going into a wig fitting. If you got braids, you're like, they're going to make you take these out.
Oh, yes.
And they do a hair wrap around it.
Exactly. And I've gone through that, you know, and some wig and hair designers, I've had some pretty remarkable ones, but they'll be like, oh, that's not going to work for this character and what I've envisioned.
Yeah.
So we got to take the braids down. And, yeah. But I've been pretty lucky the last couple of years. My braids have made it in.
Hey, we love it. Honestly, like I just got off the line with Gisela Adisa from your cast. And I was saying when I saw the show last night from the audience, I was looking at her. I'm like, I felt seeing somebody with my hair texture in a way that sometimes I wear my hair. I'm like, seeing that on stage makes me feel as an audience member like, okay, wait. Maybe I'm doing something right. Like it's on a Broadway stage. So when you're going on stage with your braids, when Onika, you're going on stage with your hair shaved on the sides, it is like, it is a statement. It's kind of revolutionary.
We're gonna cut for a short ad break. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's really awesome because when I was thinking through the Black women on stage, I mean, every single one of us has a natural style or a protective style in some way, shape, or form, right? So I have my hair with the shaved sides, Miss Liz with the braids, Gisela with her natural coils, Jill has her hair braided, Imani has a clipped and shortcut. Imani is one of our standbys. And it's really
We have dreadlocks. We have sisters with locks.
Yeah, AKB has locks, and so does Salome. And that, you know, our director, Jeffrey Page, in particular, wanted those locks to be seen, you know, wanted them to be not put up, not put away, not tidy, you know what I mean? Like, just in their beautiful, coily form, or like Salome's, which is like the sister locks, as if, you know, it pours down her face and frames this gorgeous face of hers. And no one has been asked to compromise themselves for some sort of Euro-related look.
And even what, really and,
I love
and even the
that.
Wigs in the show that Nia wigged, they are natural styles as well. Patrina's wig is dreadlocks, gray dreadlocks.
Yes, black and gray dreadlocks.
And
Crystalline.
Yeah.
Crystalline has that curly, short wig.
Cute.
It's super cute. It's really, so it definitely is empowering. And I think as that is normalized, I know that for sure, I feel empowered to step into spaces being like, here is how I would like to wear my hair and how can I make it work with your vision based on what the show is that is fair to the care of my hair. Right. Because I think one thing
in the world is how we show up in the world. And for that to be reflected on stage is empowering in itself.
It really is. It really is. I remember that it was in Fela where I was wigged, and it was a natural looking wig. One of the first shows where across the board with these incredible styles, they had to actually hire braiders like from outside of the industry to get these styles done. But one thing that was happening was I was attempting to wear my mic in my hair, and it was breaking my hair with all the movement.
We don't have time for that.
Right. And then even like, so who was in the wig room at the time, even the way they were putting on the wig, and you hear that crunching and splitting of hair as they put the wig on, I just realized, okay, no, I can empower myself to be like, you are actually hurting my hair the way that you might pin or wig pin. One texture of hair is not the way that you handle or manage my particular curls and kinks, because all you're doing is breaking it. Mm. And so I've just learned to be more empowered in asking for what I need to take care of my hair, so that when I leave a show, it's as healthy as it can be after a performance of 8 shows a week versus being virtually destroyed, you know?
And shout out to Cookie Jordan, who designed the wigs and hair and makeup for Fela.
Cookie, man, she's a legend.
I love me some Cookie.
She's a legend. Like, Cookie is the one that came into the space and was like, this is how we're doing it.
This is how
we're going to make this, you know, look as authentic as we possibly can. Yeah, Cookie is everything.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys about the show and your roles. How is it for both of you guys doing these roles that were originally written for and inspired by and about white men? How was it, either of you can go first.
I've been down this journey before. playing the stage manager in our town, it's usually a traditionally older white male that plays that role. I have played Matthew Harrison Brady in Inherit the Wind, which is usually a older white male.
Wait, how you keep getting these parts, Liz?
I belong to a
that
very
voice,
wonderful,
that voice, honey.
Well, I was told by the director of Inherit the Wind, he wanted an actor that embodied the passion and the heart of Matthew Harrison Brady. And it just happened to be a black female that embodied all of those attributes.
Wow.
He wasn't looking for the physical attribute. He wanted someone that was going to engage the audience and have the passion that Matthew Harrison Brady had. And
I have chills.
And oddly enough, in another play, I played two roles, but one of them happened to be John Quincy Adams. So I've been down this
many
before.
Times, literally many
times. Yeah, but to play In this particular piece, someone that laid the foundation here or was a part of the foundation for this country, it's been pretty great. I don't even have the adjective for it because I'm feeling the power of the other bodies on stage telling yeah. this story. And so it's not that we're stepping into his shoes, but it is an offering through my body and a view of what could have been in this country had other people been considered.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I think for me, I this is my first time, for example, playing a role that is traditionally played by a white man. It was all the research to me where you find these through lines, right? So you for a person who, for me, I figured I had nothing in common with, nothing to do with, not historically or
yeah.
anything outside of the conversation of, you know, this man owned slaves and my people were enslaved, like outside of that. But there's so much research that went into each character mm-hmm. and you start finding things like, you know, like determination, creativity, entrepreneurship, you know, but at the same time, you start to learn like, okay, this is the investigation that we're doing. It's these dichotomies that happen in existence where you have brilliance and then you have
greed.
Yes, yes, exactly. Right. So
yes.
it's like a human conversation for me. But on top of that, honestly, and I just got to be plain here, it kind of really satisfies me to think that if for some reason Joseph Hughes could be showed this play, like he would again keel over from, to quote the show, apoplexy, seeing a Black woman portray him. Right. I think that there's something satisfying for me that says, it's like a validation for the people that he enslaved that I get to now decide how he is portrayed. I get to decide that, right? So I have no interest. I very specifically decided he was a bit of a manipulator in the Congress. He passes to South Carolina because that's the peacock of the Congress. But if I can get my ideas and incept ideas into the peacock, I, as in Joseph Hughes, incept these ideas, and then it's all like given out to the Congress, then my agenda is brought into fruition without having to be too loud, without having to be too cocky, without. And I've also given him this this character that's related to Cool, where he's constantly sort of, you know, like well-mannered and polite, but anytime there's a burst of anger, you see his violence. So there's one moment with Hopkins where he just, out of nowhere, the delegate from Rhode Island bursts out at him. And it's that insidious, like volatility that lives under these quote unquote violent manners, to quote a description that one of our awesome dressers gave to me when looking at Cool, which is this idea of pretending that you're holding yourself together as your world comes apart. Mm. And we see that through line to today. So to be able to be a reflection of today through the story of the past is very important to me, even if it means embodying a white persona. Our intention is not to pretend to be those men. Our intention is to be ourselves and to present our interpretation,
yes,
as well as have those words, as Ms. Liz said, have those words come out of our mouths. How do you hear it differently when you hear words like,
yes,
you know, all men are created equal? I am like, if I say, like, how do you receive that outside of understanding it as part of the document? All men are created equal, but at the same time, I'm enslaving humans.
Right.
So and those contradictions are I'm happy to do that, even if embodying a white male.
It really does change the meaning of some things in the script when it's said by a Black person.
We'll be right back right after the break. Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I really do want to know, you both of you, your reaction and how you feel about it. So in the second act, there is the topic of slavery in the Declaration of Independence. And I don't think there was any Black people in the original production of 1776.
No, ma'am.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so first of all, was that the original script, number one? Like, did anything change to make it more relevant to this cast, number one? And number two, how was it being a part of that scene as a Black person or as a person of color?
Well, the script is what the script is.
Got it, okay.
The only change was a letter that was added by Abigail Adams, Remember the Ladies. That compromise, and we don't want it to, spoiler alert, we don't want to give anything away to your viewers. If they haven't seen the show, we invite them to come and see it.
Yeah.
And feel this moment for themselves. But
yeah,
that was in the original script. Taking that weight on,
yeah,
I'm always reminded, as Onika said, about the ancestors. When we get to the very end, when we there is a point at the end where we look out after this compromise is made, and or right before the compromise is made, and we get to look out at the audience, and all I can think of is especially one of my ancestors that just rings in my head, my great great grandfather. I just discovered him, and the name Mundy Bed Snell rings in my head when I look at the audience, because I'm thinking, you are still enslaving this man. Someone is still owning his body, and his labor is for free to build this institution that we want here, this country, this experiment that we want. And so it's a personal thing for me. And I think for all of us, but I can only speak for me, especially in that production number that we do, where we really dig deep into slavery. And it's hard, but I mean, that's what theater is. It's a holding up of a mirror to our audience, to this nation. Look here.
Yeah.
Everybody experiences that moment. Like for me, that's when the mask comes completely off. And that's a rhetoric that we use in the studio and in the rehearsal, which is that when you step into this persona, the shoes of this founding father, you're putting on a mask, right? You're putting on a mask in order to do this reenactment. But in that moment, for the Black people in the show, it's a breaking of the mask. It's like a crack.
I saw that. Mask.
And for me, I am literally like taking it off and stepping on it. Every movement of dance in that particular moment, I'm stepping on that mask, and I let myself become possessed by the ancestors. It's one of the most incredible experiences for me on stage nightly, because I think like, okay, we've made a decision to step into the painting of the past, but the painting of the past is always sort of iconicized. On the outside of that painting is the reality of everything that was happening, from young men dying in the war to people being enslaved in the most torturous system to exist for mankind. And those entities rush into me. They rush into me in that moment, and I let myself become possessed. And there's a moment where we're in a group, And we're just chanting back the words molasses to rum to slaves. And for me, it's what I appreciate about what the choreographer did there, director choreographer Jeffrey Page did there, was that rather than sort of fold into the trope of the beaten, hurt, enslaved person, he more tapped into the rebellious one, the ones that pushed back at it all and created the fear of the people who are trying to control them. Mm-hmm. And so that piece in itself is a thesis piece, mm-hmm. That can be broken down in its own conversation. But for me, the play of being a founding father is completely removed from me. That's a privilege that, yeah, I get to do on stage, because some of our castmates, they don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. They don't get to release that mask, right? Yes. But in that moment, you can forget about it. I am black on black on black.
Come on.
Giving a voice to ancestors that didn't, yes, have one, and bringing them into the conversation. That if you're going to talk about the founding fathers, every time you're talking about the founding fathers, you're talking about enslaved humans every time, no matter the brilliance of their plan. It's like, it's just, it's not to be kind of basic here, but it's the same thing. Like anytime you're talking about Hitler, you cannot remove the Holocaust from, right, the conversation. You can't.
You simply
cannot. So when you're talking about the founding fathers, even if you're focusing, let's say, on Jefferson's brilliance in his writing, you understand that while he was writing, somebody was outside of his window being punished in some way, shape, or form under this particular system. That is just what it is and what it was. And so to be able to interject that into this project that was really a conversation about the men is, it, like, that is a gift. To do that on stage for me nightly, that is yeah, a bleeping gift. that's a gift.
That was really powerful too. Yeah. Like in the audience, I absolutely feel, and I'm gonna have to let you guys go in just a couple minutes, but that was definitely a moment in the audience seeing, I'm like, okay, I can see how they actually feel about this. And I'm like, mm-hmm, again, as an audience member, I felt seen. I'm like, okay, all right, as long as we're all on the same page here, that's how I felt. I'm like, okay.
And I think that we felt, I think that we too were like, okay, is this something new you added? Is this like a, but that's, it's actually that moment in the work that inspired Paulison Page to mount the work.
Yeah, I felt that.
It's that pivotal moment where it was like, oh, this is a conversation we need to know and understand about the contradictions knitted into the foundation of the country. Mm. So, yeah.
Y'all.
Because easy to say, you know how people say they're men of their time? I'm trying, Miss Liz, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying not to spoil, but you know how that, like, oh, they're men of their time. Okay, that is true in one way, but the fact that the consideration had been there shows that they were well aware.
Yes, they were.
Right? Well aware of the travesty that was this thing. But it is a conversation in what we see happening today, which is economy over humanity. Mm-hmm. That's still happening now. Wow. Economy over humanity is still happening now. When you have the conversation about climate change and who are the bodies that are going to be first and most affected, oil trumps it every time. Wow. Oil and gas trumps it every,
wow,
time. So the barrels in our show that are rum barrels, for me, if you do, again, the through line to today, you see the oil barrels.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's still these when you hear people like the Green New Deal and trying to create a new world in which we are preparing to save our planet. And people are like, yeah, but the profits, though, you know, it's still a thing.
Yeah,
it's still a thing. And to be in a production that highlights that if we are not careful with this repetition of history, like, we're doomed to destroy ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a privilege. And to do it in my black self.
Let's go.
Shame. And Miss Liz in those braids.
It's beautiful.
And their locks. Like, to do that, to be able to do that without asking me to look another way is just,
yeah,
it's a powerful experience for me as an actress. It really is. And empowering for work that is to come after the show, the things that I can ask for, the things that I insist on, the things that I figure are, I have a right to ask for because yes. I'm this Black body crowned with this Black hair, right? Yes. I have a right to ask for these things, so.
I hate to cut us off because we're at time, but before I let you guys go, I do wanna say that you both are amazing. And it is truly a pleasure to get to talk to the both of you, and also to see your genius on stage, and to see this script, to see the story through your eyes. It is very powerful, and I hope you guys tour with it, because it's a limited engagement until what, on Broadway, January 8th.
That's it. Yeah.
And if you have people across the country, please be looking out for us. We'll be on tour. Yes.
1776. Yes. Hey, how can people find you guys? Handles, websites?
Mainly for me on Instagram, at Dragon Passion Fruit.
And perfect. I'm on Instagram and on Twitter at MIZLYZZ, Ms. Liz.
Liz.
Come on, Ms. Liz. Again, thank you so much for joining me, you guys. You're both so, so, so great. And congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much
for the show.
And also thank you for this work that you're doing to bring awareness to our experiences on Broadway. I think it's so important that we continue to highlight these conversations for our physical health, our mental health, you know, taking care of what crowns our bodies is absolutely essential, especially when you're called into a space eight shows a week, and that crown has to be manipulated. The conversations that you're having are absolutely essential for ongoing progress. So thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you,
Onika. Thank you, Liz. And you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. I'll see you later, Miss Liz.
See you in a minute.
Bye-bye. Bye, Talisha. Thank you.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast, and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.